Well, good morning, everyone. Good to be alive, is it? Well, you know, when you sleep at a Holiday Inn Express, you can do amazing things. And which I think is the reason that Enos and Mel scheduled us to sleep here at the Holiday Inn Express. You've seen those ads, right? Where the guy with the towel around his waist, he goes in and solves a nuclear crash, you know, and also straightens out the budget deficit in the president's office, does all these miraculous things simply because he slept at the Holiday Inn Express. So the Hertzberger brothers thought we all needed a little help from last year. So here we are. We're going to do some amazing things here today. Well, what we're going to do that I think is amazing is talk about His Majesty himself, the great God. Can you hear okay? Well, the mic's not connected here, so.
Well, we can hear you, but you can't hear
me. Yeah, if you can hear me, that's fine. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Can a couple of you muscle guys just move this thing a little closer here? Make sure. There's no reason for being too far back. Okay.
Might want to also encourage people. Get away from the air
conditioner. I don't even think the room has a PA system, but well, we'll try to talk up, and if there's any problem, you know, feel free to come up in some of these front seats here. Sean, maybe you can vacate because you're young and got good ears. And some of the others can come up there if you need to. And feel free to come on up a little closer. And we have some extra chairs we can bring up. So, well, we have a diverse group here. Diversity is a good thing nowadays, isn't it? It's supposed to be a good thing anyway. And we've got people here from all different parts of the country. I'm from Washington State. My name's Ken Westby. Those of you that haven't met. And my wife is here as well, somewhere. She's usually late, but when I left the room this morning, she was still sort of stirring around the bed. So I don't know. She was we're still on that West Coast time, so we haven't quite adjusted. And then plus stayed up a little late last night watching San Antonio beat Detroit. I was glad to see him beat Detroit. Just mainly gangsters live up in Detroit anyway, you know. So that was good to do that. So, well, I feel good about being back here in Ohio. I spent a few exciting years of my life here in Ohio, and our oldest daughter was born in Maumee, up around Toledo, and I was an associate pastor of the Toledo Church for a number of years, and had a hand in the establishment beginning in the first service of the Cincinnati, Ohio Worldwide Church of God. And that was, of course, a long time ago. We're talking 43 years ago, something like that. So drove around this place a whole lot. And when Mel and Enos said last year in Washington, D.C., that we need to have a seminar out in Ohio, and they wanted to host one. I said, where? And they said, Akron. And all I can remember was just burning rubber plants and smokestacks. And my last time in Akron, I think, was in 1964, 65, something like that. In fact, I think I was ordained as an elder in Akron at some feast back in 64, 65. I've kind of forgotten, but hey, it's beautiful here. Nice farmland. Went over to this town, Hudson, nearby, just a classy town where Western Reserve University is located. Just a beautiful place. So it's good to be here in Ohio with all of you. We've got Tony Bossermans from California. We've got people here from Virginia, from Connecticut, Texas, New York. Where else? Oregon. Illinois, Missouri, got a guy here from Indiana, right? That's, you know, it's quite a spread. And we'll have several folks visiting us tomorrow who were not able to make it today because of work and whatever commitments they have. So before we begin today, I'd like to, if you got your programs here, on the opening fly, I quote from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 5, the great Shema Israel. And this is the prayer on the lips of Jews at least twice a day, the observant Jews and God-fearers. It was repeated by Jesus Christ. He called it the first and the great commandment, and I think we could all agree to that. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And we're here to, in a small way, try to fulfill that great command to love God with all of our soul, our mind, and our might, which has to do even with your physical possessions and your sustenance. And all of us have invested something to come here. And what are we doing it for? Is it because it builds up our ego some way, or we get paid for it? I don't get paid for it. It just costs me money to come here. Why? Well, because we're studying His Majesty and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what more uplifting, what more noble enterprise could we enter than that enterprise? And through our study of the Word of God, we learn more about Him and about His plan, His nature, and about His glorious Son. Well, then that's part of the worship that we're offering our great God. And so it's with that spirit that we assemble here today to honor Him, and we want Him to smile upon us. The great priestly blessing given in Numbers, the 6th chapter, you're familiar with it. This is how God Himself told the people how to bless themselves, or how to say the blessing, inviting God's blessing upon themselves. Number 6, verse 22. The Lord, Yahweh, said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, and here it is, first person quote, the Lord bless you and keep you. You've heard this prayer many times. Beautiful, isn't it? And make His face shine upon you. You know, if God's smiling upon you, is there any better state to be in with the smiling face of God? That means you're under His watchful eye, you're under His protection, you're in His favor, you have access to all of His grace and His power. And be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Well, that is the great prayer, and it's the prayer we ask at this time, that God shine favorably upon us, and that all we do here and say will be to honor Him, will be in the spirit that God wants it to be given, and we can have a spirit of brotherhood here because we all have the same God, right, shining His face upon us. And so we're not worshiping other gods here. We're worshiping the great Yahweh, and His face may it shine upon us. Well, at this time, I'm going to ask Linda Haney to come forward and sing the Shema Israel, and then we'll open in prayer from Deuteronomy 6. Linda.
Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod Malkuto Leolam. Bye.
forth that sounds good in any language and must sound pleasant to the ears of God as well. Will you join me as we ask God's blessing? Our dear Heavenly Father, you who are good and your mercy is overflowing, and you're a God of kindness and of justice and of great power and love toward us. We ask your blessing now on this One God seminar. Help us to learn more of you. We only can learn a little bit in what you revealed. We can't know you fully as we would like to. Soon we will. But we ask your blessing as we strive to understand you and help us in our lives to give glory to you and how we live in obedience and in love, mimicking the very nature and the very attitude and life of your Son. So we ask your blessing on all the speaking, all the study into your word, and we return ourselves now to your Spirit to guide and direct us. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. On our first page here, going through a few announcements before we get started. We have a literature table here, and there's going to be more added to it as time goes on. And there will be pass-outs. Most of the speakers will be passing out a copy of their message, probably following it, unless it's an outline form that would be helpful for you to follow along with as they're giving it. Most of us prefer to give that out later so that you're not reading it rather than looking at us. You know what I mean by that. Not that we're so great to look at. I'm not implying that whatsoever. And tapes will be available. We're recording here now, as you see, all kind of recording. In fact, this thing here is recording. It's brought here by Don Walls from Texas. This can hold up to how many hours? 40 hours on this little thing here. 40 hours. Can you imagine that? What kind of world do we live in? And his son-in-law will be able to download this later, our entire seminar on one CD. It'll be MP3 kind of a compressed format, but that's pretty good. And we're also recording on CD, which we'll put on cassette tape. So we'll have a lot of things available you can share with others. And also, let me welcome our virtual church audience. This is being broadcast live across America, North America, anywhere in the world. People can tune in. And so we have an audience, I'm sure, much larger than we have right here, listening in. And a lot of the audience won't listen for all 2.5 days, but they'll tune in from time to time, catch a seminar here, catch a seminar there. And I've muted it, so we won't hear their complaints or their disagreements. Or we won't hear their amens either. Praise the Lord, right in there. You know, we won't hear that either, but we know they're there. And welcome our virtual church audience to tune in. There are a couple of announcements that Mel wanted to make regarding some of the facilities, or was that Enos? I don't know. But you guys, go ahead.
Thank you, Ken. Good to see everybody here. I want to say it was a lot of hard work to do this. It was harder than I thought it would be to make everything come together. And I guess we'll know Sunday whether it was a success, maybe. But anyway, good to see all of the faces here. I know there are, my count was quite a few more than actually are here yet from the rooms. So, and I wanted to, my name is Mel Hirschberger, and if you guys, and I have my brother Enos here, if anybody needs anything, of course, you probably need to talk to us since we're local here to help you out. And if you want to know who the two guys are that you need to, you know, who are the Hirschbergers, well, just look for the two tallest guys in here, and the shortles may not appreciate that. The restroom right out here, I might mention, especially for men, it would probably be wise to lock the door when you go in because you can be walked in on very easily, just for your privacy. And we'll have maps out then for restaurants. It's not labeled restaurants, but I got maps here. And there's only one road you need to concern yourself. It's the one you're on. all the restaurants basically are on there. I just wanted to mention maybe, you know, we have a mixed group somewhat. We're not all on the same page or in agreement. The group that I fellowship with, we have two calendars in our group. We have three Passovers and three Pentecosts. And we have about 10 or 11 people. And so if you want to know how to get along the best way, is just make sure you're on the right side. But anyway, that is about all I had, and I will turn it back over to Ken.
Okay, Enos, anything you want to say? Good. I appreciate the Hirschberger brothers and their wives, Betty, and Debbie's not here. She'll be joining us tomorrow. And that was Enos' daughter who was working at the registration table. She had an appointment she had to buzz out to, but hopefully she'll be joining us later. And I appreciate the hard work, you know, inviting us here to share with you in Ohio. Some of you may not know, but the Hirschbergers are former Amish. And in fact, this is kind of an Amish territory around here, isn't it? Quite a few. Yeah. Which is why they have only one bathroom in the hotel here, I guess. Which is an improvement from the old days, right, where you had to go out somewhere. But they were telling us the story, you know, how he snuck out of his house at age 17, left a little note there for his parents, and of course, he couldn't call anybody. They didn't have electricity in the house, and ran out through a door, window, whatever, and covered a couple of fields and over a few fences, and then hopped in your car, and you speared him away. Escaped out of the Amish life, but that's quite an interesting story. Here on the opening page, I mentioned welcome. I'd just like to reiterate a couple of principles behind these One God seminars. And somebody has asked me, this is our fourth annual. Our first one was in Seattle, next year in Texas. Next year in Washington, D.C., and then this year here in Ohio, how long we're going to continue to do these things. And my answer to that is, well, at least for me anyway, until I croak, which, you know, I'm hoping we'll wait a little while. Jonathan Shortall said he wrote me off a couple of years ago, or somebody else wrote me off a couple of years ago. But I got a new battery and things here from my heart and everything else to jump started it, kicked it up. And so as long as I'm moving around, we'll do it. You heard what Rush Limbaugh said when somebody asked him, how long are you going to keep doing this program of yours? Well, he said, until everybody's convinced. My wife doesn't like listening to Rush Limbaugh. She kind of hates him, but I enjoy listening. He's funny, you know. But how long are we going to be doing this? Well, not until everybody's convinced. That's not going to happen. Let's be realistic about it. But the goal is until people look at the subject, study it, try to understand it, be exposed to it. They may not agree. And at the end of our seminar here, not everybody's going to agree with one another. And that's fine, no problem with that at all. That's some church you have there, Mel. That must be exciting to come. Some subjects maybe you just don't want to get on, right?
You just on all of them.
Oh, no kidding. Well, that's a testament to being able to get along. And you read the letter that Paul wrote to some of his churches, and you got to think, whoa, what was going on in that church? With their troubles that they had, the arguments and stuff like that. But, you know, that's humans, isn't it? We all see things a little differently, understand things differently. And there are cultural aspects as well. And the early Christians scattered all over the empire, they tended to interpret their understanding of Christ and of God in the mindset, the worldview that was part of their culture and their background. And that's normal, isn't it? So we're not all going to agree on things, but if we can learn more about God and give him more glory and more respect, well, it's worthwhile. The hardest thing is just to get people to be open-minded enough to consider it. And is there any more important doctrine than the knowledge of God? Well, I don't know of any. I mean, that's the zenith of all doctrines. That's the epitome. That's the peak. If you can know about God. And I'll just read you what I have here in Jeremiah, one of my favorite scriptures. At the end of life, there's only one thing upon which we can boast. And again, this comes from God. It's one of those special self-descriptions that God himself gives, because we don't know about him but through his revelation. He said, "Let the wise man not boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches." Now, there are the three categories most of us like to brag about, right? Show off about, brag about. It's one of those three. That's it. "But let him who boasts," God's going to offer us something to boast about. You want to boast? You want to feel good? You want to feel like you've got it made? You've arrived? You've got something that you can, in a sense, be terribly satisfied and proud of? Well, here it is. "Boast about this, that he understands and knows me." Now, that's going to be a work in progress, isn't it? That just doesn't happen like that, you know. I think back at my early ministry when I started doing pastoral work in my mid-20s. I look back and I think, what a dope. I didn't know anything in those days. And then I look back at some of the things I wrote when I was in my 30s. And I said, what a snotty idiot. You know, I didn't really understand much. Then I got somebody told me that when you hit 40, you know, just a wave of wisdom comes over you. Begin to get wise. And I was kind of waiting for that. And, but you know, as you look back, you realize there's a progression of understanding. And you wonder, well, how could you have even opened your mouth and spoken on anything because you didn't know, understand this, which you now understand, see? And that's true with so many teachings and doctrines, isn't it? So this is progressive, this understanding and know me. That's a walk. It's moving toward God, moving Godward. "That I am the Lord," and here's the self-description, "who exercises kindness," and that's, I hope, going to be our spirit here as we deal with one another with kindness. "Justice," God's going to sort it all out, isn't he? He is the totally fair and just God. "And righteousness on earth, for in these I delight," and hopefully we'll delight in the same thing. Because to know God and to know his Son is to love him, right? To know him is to love him. And to love him is to want to become like him. And that is the great calling, to take on the divine nature as Jesus Christ did. So he could say, "I and my Father are one. You've seen me, you've seen him." Because of that oneness. And that's our goal, isn't it? To share that together. And we come together with an attitude of mutual respect and collegiality, acceptance, and no judgment or condemnation. We're all fallible sinners before the face of a loving, wonderful God, right? And we all kind of cuddle up around his knees and look up at him. And so as we look at our fellows to either side, we're just human beings. We're all in that process of learning, and none of us has it all. I haven't met anybody that I respect that says he's got it all worked out, that he understands everything. I haven't met him yet. We're all in that process, aren't we? So if we can look back a few years ago at some of the things we believe that we now realize were kind of stupid, we can cut some slack, can't we? If people don't agree with your present view of things right now, cut them a little slack. I think God does. He must cut us all a lot of slack, right? And as a loving parent, he could be still smiling at our kids, even though at his kids, even though his kids have a lot to learn. And we all have a lot to learn. And that's why we're here. We're here to learn those things. Well, one of the leaders in this investigation of the one God topic, Christology, is Anthony Buzzard. Many of you have heard him before, heard his tapes and all. And Anthony, would you come on up and say a few words of introduction, why the subject is important to us, and why we're doing what we're doing? Anthony Buzzard.
My name is Anthony Buzzard. Georgia, they say, couldn't really be Buzzard. It surely must be Buzzard. So no, actually it is Buzzard. And if the lady behind the desk in the bank is looking sad that day, I will typically, when they say, well, what's that funny accent you have? And it's strange, you know, where are you from? I say, well, I'm from Alabama. if you get no reaction at all, you know the kid's not been out of the town. But you'll get a smile, almost invariably, when that just sounds so absurd. Anyway, it's nice to be among researchers into the one God issue. This is a marvelous forum. Very delighted to be here. I just have a couple of things to suggest to you, and that is that we are part of a very large movement now that's investigating who God is. This is not some sectarian gathering of strange sort of apostles dropped from heaven who think they've invented the faith. Heaven forbid, that's the worst thing we want to be. We are in fact joining this quest, you know, for the historical Jesus, which is massive, I mean totally massive. Ken will share, and I would like to mention the name of Roger Haight. It's 500 pages, but he's virtually saying what the Unitarian, biblical Unitarian people have said for many years. And in New England, they had a mass of churches who typically preached that God was one and Jesus was the Son of God. So we're not some sort of newly invented creed at all. I want you to feel that you're part of a world movement. It may not be right, but it's not some sectarian thing. So keep your eye on the books like James Dunn's Christology in the Making. If you want to get strengthen your hand in these areas of biblical theology, there's nothing better than to read the scholars. It doesn't mean the scholars have it all right. They're not always good believers, but they're very good analysts. They know their Greek and they know their Hebrew. So there's tremendous resources there in some of those books. I want to suggest that we are not universalist Unitarians. I'm representing a position that is not the UU Church. The UU Church. You can go to UU Church. You don't have to believe necessarily in God to be a universalist Unitarian. You can believe in jazz or nature and various other things. So, to keep this rather light, I thought I would read to you the joke that came by Gary Arbertson. He's pretty good at supplying us with jokes. I'm not going to read all this, but you know the thing about the light bulb, don't you? You know, how many various denominational groups does it take to change a light bulb? I won't read them all to you. Charismatics, go over there quickly. Only one. Hands are already in the air. But the Universalist Unitarians, I like this, which I am not. I'm representing what I call a biblical Unitarian position, and I think many in this room perhaps are. The Universalist Unitarians, we choose not to make a statement either in favor of or against the need for a light bulb. However, if in your own journey you have found that light bulbs work for you, you are invited to write a poem or compose a modern dance about your light bulb for the next Sunday service, in which we will explore a number of light bulb traditions, including incandescent, fluorescent, three-way, long life, and tinted, all of which are equally valid paths to luminescence. Isn't that nice? That really actually captures the mood. So here, I think, is the point, and I'll sit down in just a second because we've been our first speaker's about to come up, but if you think of Jesus as a Jew in conversation with a scribe in Mark 12, it's quite remarkable. The scribe, the Jewish scribe, agrees with Jesus about who God is. So for any of you who are investigating this issue, you might start there and say, well, now, was that scribe promoting a Trinitarian or Binitarian God? If he was, then Jesus was agreeing to a Trinitarian or Binitarian God. But is it realistic that that Jewish scribe, quoting the Shema, which you heard sung so beautifully just now, what sort of a creed was Jesus affirming? And if that creed could have been a Unitarian creed, since the scribe agreed with it, might it be reasonable for you as followers of Yeshua, followers of Jesus, to be a Unitarian? That's one of the challenges, right? I want to just finish with one point that will be arising, I'm sure, during our conversations. And that is that there has been a Greek influence on the faith. And it's simply massive. The scholarly literature is massive. And to say that the faith came out pure and remained pure in the post-biblical years is really a position that is difficult to maintain. Maltmann, you've heard of. I just want one quote here from Maltmann to set at least part of the agenda. in the degree to which Christianity cut itself off from its Hebrew roots and acquired Greek and Roman form, it lost its eschatological hope, its hope for the future. See? That's why you guys like the kingdom of God, right? The vision of the kingdom, which is the fundamental point, I think, of the New Testament. It lost its eschatological hope. Hence, Billy Graham says we're going to polish rainbows in heaven. He says that regularly and wrote that. It lost its eschatological hope and surrendered its apocalyptic alternative to this world. That means God's going to intervene and change everything. They lost track of that. It merged into late antiquity's Gnostic religion of redemption. It blended with the philosophies of the world. That's what happened. From Justin, key figure, 150 AD, from Justin Martyr onwards, most of the church fathers, who are the basis of the religion that many have received, revered Plato as a Christian before Christ. Now, I say to anybody that's listening at all, that's got to be serious. You cannot imbibe Plato, who was also a homosexual, without some damage to the faith. So I do want to make that one point to you. Firstly, the two points, really, that we are dealing with a massively interesting subject here. Huge. When you have half the world divided on who God is, half the world now, that's what, 3 billion people committed to a notion of God that divides them from the others also claiming to believe in God. It's just simply huge. The literature is vast. The historical literature is vast if you get into it. So that's my first point. Second point would be simply this. There has been some sort of decline, and scholars would generally recognize this. We cannot claim that the tradition came through to us, pure and simple, I would suggest. So with those two ideas, you know, we'll now proceed with our speaker. Thank you.
I'm still worried about your hearing. Are you able to hear okay? You sure? Yeah. Is there the Mel? Do they have a PA in this room? Do you know or? See anything? Yeah. Either that, or we'll rearrange the chairs to get them a little closer. You know, because we do need to hear. Some people have louder voices than others, you know, and that makes a big difference. So we'll do the best we can. Okay, our setup here, as you can see from our program, gets a little earlier every day. Tomorrow we're going to start at 8:30, and then Sunday we're going to start at 8. And that's to make sure we have enough time for Q&A. And if you have questions and you think of them in your brochure there, you had a little question form. Feel free to use that, note your questions. And if we try to confine the questions to the subject matter being presented, we'll have general sessions where anything can be brought up. And but if time-wise, each of the presenters is going to try to leave a portion of his time for questions at the end, so we'll try to confine them to the subject he presented. And then in our general sessions, which we're going to have two extended ones, bring up any question you like.